Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by the good people over at gadgetofthemonth.com. How much do you love taking pictures with your cell phone? If you do, you're gonna wanna at least check out these lenses that they have to get yourself a few more likes across the wide world of social media. What about phone chargers? Pick one up from gadgetofthemonth.com, hang it on your keys, and never be left without a charge, or get that one that you can fit in your wallet. They ship worldwide and have that 90-day satisfaction guarantee, so check them out over at gadgetofthemonth.com. But for now, enjoy the show. Hello everybody, recording live from somewhere. This is the Fry Cook on Venus podcast. I'm your host. My name is Scott Anderson. I am a dreamer, a storyteller, a Renaissance man, and above all else, a nice guy trying to not finish last. Before we go any further, if you would like to support the show, then please rate us and review us in the world famous iTunes store. If you'd like to make sure this show comes to you free and automatically every single week, then feel free to subscribe to the show in iTunes, or as of right now, in the official BlackBerry Podcasts app. That's right, kids. Not only is Alicia Keys working with BlackBerry now, so is this guy. Not sure why my press release didn't come out, but hey, I'm sure it's on the way. If you're on the old Facebook, feel free to tell a friend to look us up, and don't forget to leave a comment over at thatcsaguy.podomatic.com. I usually refer to this part of the show as the monologue or the intro, but I'm thinking of changing it to Scotty, Why You Mad? Because it always seems like I'm complaining about something in this segment. However, I'm not going to break that trend. This week, my beef is with my computer. You've probably heard this story before. I went to the Apple Store. It fixed itself. Ever since then, I've known my computer is running on borrowed time. I was assumed that it would just randomly break one day, and well, in the wee hours of last Saturday, that day happened. Now, sure, a month had gone by after my last trip to the Apple Store, which was plenty of time to do new work and, hey, maybe even back up my computer so that if it did crash, which I knew it would, I wouldn't lose all my work. Well, fellow procrastinators, you know as well as I do that did not happen. And the episodes I had of this podcast that were ready to go, all I had to do was upload them. Well, let's just say they don't exist anymore. So when Saturday afternoon came, I found myself shopping online for a new hard drive. I found a good one, really nice price. Apple wanted to charge me $188 to have them install it, but they told me that if I do it myself, it'll cost me about $50. It was super easy to install from the YouTube videos I looked up, thanks to everybody there. I went, I bought it. 2 days later, it came in the mail. Apparently, I live super close to the warehouse. It was the fastest I've ever received anything that I've ordered via the internet. So, I slept on it. I felt really good. Like, I woke up in the morning, was all jovial, like, I'm gonna open my computer today. I'm gonna pop the hood. I'm gonna take out the old engine, put the new engine in. I felt like Dom Toretto. Felt great. And then when I opened the box for the hard drive, this thing was fatter than my entire computer. And immediately I was vexed, but I didn't know who to be vexed at, because I swear the last thing I did before I clicked purchase on Saturday evening / afternoon was A, make sure it'll work in a laptop, and B, make sure it's Mac compatible. However, while it will work with Macs and will work with laptops, it will not physically fit into my Mac laptop. So instead of throwing everything at every wall I could find, I said to myself, all right, well, let's at least open up the computer, pull out the old hard drive, so at least I'll be able to pop in the new one with relative ease when I get it. So I had to get these screwdrivers. Now, if you go to an electronics shop, these computer kit screwdrivers are at least $20. You can go to the dollar store and get one of the screwdrivers you need in a basic screwdriver set. It'll cost you $2. So I picked that up. I came home. I started unscrewing. I got all the screws except the one last one. Funny how whenever you're unscrewing something, the last screw is always the screwiest. No pun intended. It took 3 people to get this screw out. It was ridiculous. when I finally gave up on it, I came back after an hour, and it came out like it was screwed into butter. It was ridiculous. I still don't know how it happened, but I love it. So I flipped up the hood, pulled out the hard drive, which is tiny, by the way, compared to the other one. Oh my goodness. It was like Dink the Clown next to Yokozuna for all my 90s wrestling fans. Now, if you were paying attention, you know that I said that you can get one of the screws you need from the dollar store. In the set I bought, they do not have the second screw I need to install this hard drive. So I'm looking at the old hard drive right now, and it's stupid mounting screws with its six-sided head. Like, it's got some kind of demon screw. And that's where I am right now with this stinking hard drive. I just want to thank Michelle for letting me use her laptop to put out this quality, informative, and educational show, the podcast known as Fry Cook on Venus. Today on the show, we're going to go over a series of questions that I answered years ago on my blog. They are Chuck Klosterman's 23 questions I ask to everybody I meet in order to decide if I can really love them, from his book Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. Since I really don't have an episode this week, I'm gonna answer, maybe 12 of them, and we'll see how compatible we are. Maybe we're soulmates. Maybe you're gonna hate me by the end of this episode. Maybe you're indifferent. We shall see. Let go. Question 1. Let's assume you meet a magician. Let's assume he can only do 5 tricks. He can pull a rabbit out of his hat, he can make a coin disappear, he can turn an ace into a joker, and 2 tricks similar. However, these are his only tricks. The thing is, he can do these with pure magic. It's not an illusion, it's not sleight of hand, he's actually making a bunny come out of thin air, and he can move a coin through space. The question is he, the magician, more or less impressive than Albert Einstein? To me, obvious answer. It's the magician. I mean, everything Einstein did is rooted in logic. You can plug values into equations and come to the same conclusions he did. There's nothing you can do to explain pulling a bunny out of thin air. So to me, the magician gets it every time. That's not even a question. Bring on the next. Let's assume there's a fully grown horse with its hooves shackled to the ground and its head held in place with a really super thick rope. He's conscious and he's standing upright but completely immobile. Now let's assume that every political prisoner on Earth, as cited by Amnesty International, will be released from captivity if you kick this horse to death in less than 20 minutes. And yes, you can wear steel-toed boots. Do you attempt to do this? My answer's gotta be no. I can't take a life. I feel bad when I flush, like, spiders down the toilet. I can't kick a horse to death. Sure, it would free a lot of people from their imprisonment, but I can't do it. That's too much pressure to put on me. I apologize. Like one time, somebody asked me in a YouTube video, if given the chance, would I rather kick a pigeon or a squirrel? I couldn't do either. It's a living thing. I don't know, maybe it's because I've studied so much biology, I've become soft, but I can't do it. And side note, if you ever find that person who asked me that pigeon squirrel question, tell them they're a sick and twisted individual. Question 3. Let's assume there are 2 boxes on a table. One has a relatively normal turtle. In the other is the skull of Adolf Hitler. You have to select one of these items for your house. If you select the turtle, you can't give it away and you have to keep it alive for at least 2 years. If either of these conditions are not met, you get fined $999. If you select Hitler's skull, you are required to display it in a semi-prominent location in your living room for the same amount of time. However, you get paid $120 per month for doing so, and the display of the skull must be apolitical. Do you pick option A or B? For me, the word apolitical gives it away. That means I don't have to say, yo, this is a Nazi skull, bruh. It just has to be a skull on a table. I could probably pull that off. I mean, my room is pretty much about as random as that. I mean, if you put a skull in there, people aren't going to think twice. They'll be like, oh, alright, well, yeah, it's just some stuff on the table, whatever. Just take the skull, man. It's easy. Would it be awesome to have a turtle? Sure. I mean, I've been fascinated by turtles ever since, you know, Raphael and Leonardo and Splinter was a rat, but Splinter was a rude boy still, y'all. Where was I going with this? Oh yeah, you take the skull. You don't have to keep the skull alive, and you're gonna get paid to have it around. It's a no lose situation with the skull. Am I wrong? Question 4. Genetic engineers at a university announced that they have developed a so-called super gorilla. It can't speak, but it has about 12,000 words worth of sign language in its arsenal, and an IQ of almost 85, plus a vague sense of self-awareness. Oddly, the creature who weighs 700 pounds is fascinated by American football. It aspires to play the game at the highest level possible and has the skills of a defensive end. Analysts say that it would average about 6 sacks a game, plus the gorilla has made it known that he wouldn't injure anyone on purpose. Now let's say you're the commissioner of the NFL. Would you allow this gorilla to sign with a team? I probably would take the New York Jets' Tim Tebow route, as I could sign it and never let it play. I get to fill seats with adoring fans, and I get to cash in on the novelty of having a gorilla on my team. Would I let it play? Probably. I'd love to, just to see a 700-pound gorilla mosh up a bunch of football players. It'd be good TV, and I'm kind of sick and twisted. Numero 5. You meet your soulmate. However, there's a catch. Every 3 years, someone will come by and break both of his or her collarbones with a wrench. And the oh man, I am sick and twisted. It's hilarious. And the only way you can stop this from happening is by swallowing a pill. This pill will make every song you hear after that, for the rest of your life, sound as if it's being performed by the band Alice in Chains. When you hear anything on the radio, it's gonna sound like Alice in Chains. If you saw your favorite band live, they would sound like it's being covered by Alice in Chains. When you hear a commercial on TV, or when you sing in the shower, by now you get it. Do you swallow the pill or not? I do love music, however, you said soulmate, and I would do anything for this girl. I mean, come on, soulmate, right? Now, I may not be the most familiar with Alice in Chains, so for argument's sake, you can throw LMFAO or Pitbull or Flo Rida in there. Would it drive me insane? Probably, but this is my soulmate you're talking about. I mean, I'm not the mushiest guy, although I've been told different. I'd do anything for this fictional woman. And if it meant sacrificing my love of music, I'd do it. Because she's her, bro. Her over everything, man. That's it. I would give up music for her. Would she give up music for me? Probably not. But hey, whatever, man. That's the lengths I go for true love. 6. Someone has finally invented the Dream VCR. This machine allows you to record an entire evening's worth of your own dreams, which you can then play back at your leisure. However, the inventor of the Dream VCR will only allow you to do this if you agree to one condition. When you watch back your dreams, you have to do so with your family and all of your closest friends in the same room. They get to watch your dreams with you. If you don't agree to this, you don't get the VCR. Yay or nay? No thank you, sir. You can keep your VCR. Not just because it's a VCR as opposed to a Blu-ray player. I've gotten this far in my life without reliving any of my dreams. So you know what? I think I'll be just fine. Plus, I don't need the people in my life seeing the stuff I dream about, because I dream about some pretty weird stuff. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've murdered a couple people, to be honest with you. And there's just some odd things, man. Some of them play out like silent movies. Some of them have me just running. I had a dream this morning where I was sitting in front of a classroom and there was about to be a midterm and all these people in the class are asking me questions and I'm thinking, I don't even go to school anymore. Why are they asking me stuff? But for some reason, I'm still trying to explain to the foreign kid next to me how to calculate the angle of refraction when light enters a prism made of glass. And like, I don't need everyone I know watching that. They think I'm strange enough already. If you've listened to this much of this podcast, you're already questioning me. I don't need you to see into my subconscious, so thank you, but No thanks, I'll be fine. Numero 7. On the same day, a marine biologist captures a live Loch Ness monster. Somewhere in Vancouver, a live Sasquatch has been captured as well. Now, that evening, the President of the United States announces he may have cancer and will be undergoing a biopsy later that week. Now, you're the front page editor of the biggest newspaper in the world. What do you play off as the front page story? It's gotta be the president. I mean, the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, has his life in jeopardy. You've got to go with that. Will the Loch Ness Monster and Sasquatch sell papers? Sure, but the leader of the free world will probably sell you more. If I'm the owner of the paper, that's what I care about. I'm trying to move units, and I believe the president will do that better. I mean, you can probably fit Sasquatch and Nessie somewhere on page 2, but El Presidente wins every time. Numero 8, you meet the perfect person. This person is ideal. You find them physically attractive, intellectually stimulating, consistently funny, and deeply compassionate. However, they have one quirk. This individual is obsessed with Jim Henson's gothic puppet fantasy, The Dark Crystal. Beyond watching it at least once a month, he or she peppers casual conversation with Dark Crystal references and uses analogies to explain everyday events, and occasionally likes to talk intensely about the film's deeper meaning. Would this be enough to stop you from marrying this individual? No, because you said perfect. I mean, perfection doesn't come around often. I've spent my entire life under the assumption that perfect doesn't even exist. You're gonna tell me that perfect does exist, and there's just one tiny scratch on another word, flawless masterpiece? Actually, I was having a similar conversation a few days ago on Twitter with someone I know. She was asking, if you found the perfect person, but this person worked as a clown. They left the house every day, they came back into the house every day, dressed up in full makeup, floppy shoes, wig. Would you be with this person? And I say, of course, because if this person is perfect for me, then I should theoretically be able to see past that. I mean, perfection. I'd do anything for perfection. Hell, I'd do anything for less than perfection. If perfection walked in and perfection was my dream girl, then yeah, man, anything for her. Because she's awesome, apparently, according to this question. Also, you want to make crappy movie references with me? Bro, come on now. I will duel you to the death. My show is a reference to Ferris Bueller. Come on now. I will win. I will end you. I will break you. And I will caress everything better because you're my soulmate and you're perfect. Bring on question 9. 9. A novel is released to super commercial success. However, there's a curious social trend that emerges after this happens. Though no one can prove a direct scientific link, it appears that approximately 30% of the people who read this book immediately become homosexual. Many of these newfound homosexuals credit the book for helping them reach this conclusion about their orientation, despite the fact that the book is a crime novel with no homoerotic content and was written by a straight man. Would this phenomenon increase or decrease the likelihood of you reading this book? I gotta say decrease. Not because I'm afraid to become homosexual all of a sudden. I mean, if that happens, that happens. But the thing is, I'm trying to get the girl of my dreams. And if this alters my odds by 30%, then I'm not trying to do it. Because, like I said, man, her over everything. If you put the book in front of me, maybe. But I don't want to cop out and give a wishy-washy answer. So, no. Trying to get the girl. I don't want to risk it. Say what you will. My bad. Numero 10. This one is this. The opening line of the book Bright Lights, Big City is, "You're not the kind of guy who would be in a place like this at this time of the morning." Now, if you have that book or have read it, think about that line in context of the novel. Now go to your CD collection and find the Little Queen album by heart and play the opening riff of Barracuda. Which of these two introductions is a higher form of art? Now, I've never read that book, nor do I own it, nor do I own that album, but trust me when I tell you I know the opening riff of Barracuda. YouTube it, you crazy kids. Back in my day, we had to know these things. Now, that seems like a good quote, but I have no idea what context that is used, so by default, I have to take that awesome riff. And I say awesome riff because it is awesome. I was little, and I knew that there was something about that that made me feel a certain way. It's the power of the electric guitar, man. Maybe that's the love of music that I mentioned before, but it just does something to me, and for me, it's more meaningful than any quote could possibly be, because a quote, it'll make you think, but a sound, a music, it'll make you feel. Is this a Lebanon? Okay, what that were? You are watching a movie in a crowded theater. The plot is mediocre, but you find yourself dazzled by the special effects. With about 20 minutes left in the movie, you are all of a sudden struck with this undeniable feeling of impending doom. You're certain that your mother has just died. There's no logical reason for this to be true. She's not sick, but you're certain of it. You're all of a sudden overtaken with this irrational metaphysical sense that somewhere your mom has just perished. Now, the only thing you have to go on is intuition. There is, again, no evidence that your mother has been ill. What do? Immediately leave the theater, or do you finish watching the movie? Surely you have to leave. Like, I just heard Effie's voice in my head going, dude, you have to go. Like, that's your mother. Like, me and my mom don't always see eye to eye on everything. And, you know, we're not on the same page all the time, but if I all of a sudden feel that she's gone, I gotta go at least make a call. Not send a text. I would make a call. She's one of the people I call. I don't see how you could sit in a crappy movie instead of just walking out and checking up on the person who gave you life. That's, like, I'm sick and twisted, but I'm not cold-hearted, man. And if you stay in that theater, to me, whew, you on another level. We started this with a magician, and on question 12, we're going to end it with a wizard who claims that he can make you more attractive if you pay him money. When you ask how this process works, the wizard points at a random person and says, y'all, watch this. I'm going to make that guy $1 more attractive. He waves his wand, and all of a sudden, this person doesn't change at all, but as far as you can tell, this person is suddenly a little bit more appealing. There's no tangible difference that you can see with your eye, but you can't deny that this person is vaguely sexier. The wizard has a weird rule, though. You can only pay him once. You can't keep giving him money until you're satisfied with how good you look. You pay him one upfront lump sum to make you pretty. How much cash are you willing to give the wizard? I'm gonna go with none. I mean, if I were any better looking, this world would be a much, much more chaotic place. I mean, it wouldn't be fair to the rest of you. But seriously, I'm good with what I have. I'm satisfied with the way I look. I don't get many complaints. I think I'm doing all right. And I'm not gonna give someone any money to make me think that I'm better looking. It doesn't make sense to me. If you would like to pay to make me better looking, feel free. But I'm cool with my whole schmucky, stubbly, bomboclat looking self. I'm cool. I'm good. There you have it. That's the first 12 of Klosterman's 23 questions. Go check out his book, Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs. It's a good time. I assume. I mean, it does have Cocoa Puffs in it. We'll finish up next time I don't have a guest, or next time my hard drive crashes. Preferably the first of those two options. Before we go, it's time for me to practice the art of shameless self-promotion and throw a bunch of links your way. You can check me out on YouTube under the name GeniusBoy88. Look me up on Twitter at ThatCSAGuy. And don't forget to check out my blog, thatcsaguy.blogspot.ca. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the show at thatcsaguy.podomatic.com or in iTunes or the official BlackBerry podcast app. That wraps it up from here. You've been listening to the Fry Cook on Venus podcast. And how many Shopper's Optimum points will I get if I buy Drake's album? Thanks, Janet.